Good morning. So, this is one of those in-betweener services in between Christmas and New Year's, and so you survived, it looks like, and haven't caught something. Some people have, and you have enough energy to get here today, so we appreciate that, and it is a hectic time of the year. You know, as we go through the book of James, it's just amazing to me. I hate to say amazing, God knew, I didn't know, but the next passage, how it would fall perfectly for a new year, because we do stand at the threshold of 2015, and it's the very passage that James uses to address brothers and sisters in Christ how to approach the future, how to approach tomorrow. So I was trying to think of some kind of saying or witty thing or rhyming thing for 2015. But actually, yeah, Paula texted me. She's not feeling good. She wasn't here this morning, but she texted. I don't know if she saw it on TV. I guess somebody came with we need to be on God's team in 2015. And so I thought, well, that's good. But I was looking at different words about the future and came across futurity. And I thought, that's not a word. But I looked it up. And it does. It means a future event or a possibility that happens in the future. And that's what James is talking about, is the futurity, I have to say it just right or it doesn't work out. Future events or life, how do we approach that? You know, how do we, not knowing what tomorrow holds, how do we approach? And we realize that we may not know what the future holds, but we know the one who holds the future. And that's what it's all about here this morning, that James is talking about. And I thought that was good, being on God's team in 2015. That's what this is about, is including God in all those plans and seeking his will, and that God's will be done, and not leaving him out. You know, the Bible says it's one thing, okay, for atheists who don't believe in God, and so they go through each day without that assent, that mental assent or heartfelt assent that there is a God who created, that has a plan, has a reason for us being here. Okay, they're atheists. But you know, a Christian can be a pragmatic or practical atheist. And the Bible says that's even worse. Okay, it's bad when a person doesn't acknowledge God, but it's even worse when a person claims to be a Christian and acknowledges God, but then acts like there is no God because they go through each day in their own thoughts, their own strength, their own planning, their own goals, and don't really approach God through prayer and the reading of his word to see what God's will is all about. And the Bible says that's even worse. It uses the illustration that the one who knows better and doesn't do it is beaten with more stripes than the person who didn't know it, but you know, doesn't have that faith and didn't have that understanding and still did wrong or maybe the same thing with lesser stripes. And that's just the illustration there, that we are held accountable. And this is what James is talking about, the way that we approach the future, the way that we approach or think about goals and planning. And we know that the Bible says that's a good thing to plan. You have to think things through. It will help eliminate a lot of heartache if we would just think things through, okay, and plan. He uses illustrations and parables like who would go out and build a house without first understanding how much building material you need and how much is the cost, or building a tower. And you have to think through those things. He talks about if one was going to do battle with another army, you have to understand and think it through. Do I have enough men? Do I have enough resources, you know, to win this battle? So the Bible says specifically, yeah, in Psalms and Proverbs, that that's a wise thing to do, is plan. We have to plan. We have to make goals. We have to be motivated. But it can also be very sinful thing to do if in all that we did not include God. So we're talking about planning for the future here. You know, Americans have always been forward-looking, and it seems like we're living in a day where everybody's concerned about the future. What's going to happen? What's going to happen next? And people try everything they can to try to forecast the future, and whether it's tea leaves or astrology or fortune cookies or palm reading or going to a seminar or whatever, you know, that's all just ridiculousness. You know, because there's only one who knows the future, and he holds the future, and he has a plan for the future, and that's God. So it would leave us with the understanding, okay, we need to be in tune to what God is doing. Not what we want to do, not what we think is going to do, not what we think is going to happen. Because life, we have to understand the brevity of life. We have to understand we can't just surmise that this is going to happen. And God condemns that when we play like we know and we can plan and we can make plans for the future and we know everything's going to be. He says, no, you don't. You don't know. You don't even know if you'll be around tonight. You know, you don't know what will happen. And so that's what James is talking about here. In James 4, 13 through 17, he says, now listen. You who say. So it's kind of like we can get a background picture in our mind. These are two guys, maybe two businessmen. They're talking about, you know, this is how what we're going to do in 2015, okay? We're going to go to this town, and we're going to stay there for this amount of time, and we're going to have this kind of a business, and we're going to sell this, and we're going to buy and sell, and then we're going to acquire this much money during that time. So you see these two businessmen talking and saying things like, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city. You know, and the problem is in this planning, in this forecasting, okay, in this goal setting. We will go to this or that city, we'll spend a year there, carry on business, and then we'll make some money. And then James kind of comes into this scenario and says, why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow, okay? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. So, he says the depravity of life, that it's so short, you know, and he uses the word here, mist or vapor. And a lot of wording is used in God's word that life is fleeting, okay? You don't know. Instead, you ought to say, if, okay? And that's a word we need to circle in this passage, if, okay? If you look at the word life, you can write down life, L-I-F-E, and what's in the middle of life is if, you know, and circle that if. Life is iffy. Wouldn't you agree? You know, the things that you plan didn't happen that way. You know, I didn't mean for this to happen, or I didn't want this to happen, or this throws a kink in all my plans now. You know, and it's, you know, God knew it was going to happen, you know. And so he's saying, instead you ought to say, if it's what? If it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. He's saying we're actually in partnership with God. Practical atheism is saying we believe in God, but not including God in our everyday plans and goals and aspirations of life, okay? That's acting like there is no God at all. In fact, God's word says that's grieving the Holy Spirit. When you grieve the Holy Spirit, it means you ignore God's presence. You ignore His Holy Spirit. And that's hurtful, which God is a God of love. And that hurts Him and says, well, I wanted to be a part of this. You know, I wanted to give my blessings upon this. And we kind of have it all wrong. We have to stop playing, Lord, bless this mess. Or, Lord, you know, I planned all this. These are my goals. These are my aspirations. Now would you bless it? Would you give me the strength? Stop praying that. He says, if it's your will, you know, we need to start praying. We need to be looking where God's already working. God has already have a plan. He's not a genie in a lamp that we can just pull up and say, okay, bless this or give me what I need to get through. We don't know. But God knows, okay? We need to get in tune to what His will is, if it's your will. And we need to begin to think more in the terms of a will is not, oh, should I have gone down this road or that road or done this or done that? The will of God, and Jesus said, thy will be done, you know, is that in the loving Heavenly Father. And if Jesus needed that, we need that. It's really more of an attitude, okay? It's like we know the will of God. The more we love Jesus, the more we become like Jesus, the more we study His word. There's certain things, and they're black and white. We know what God's will is, and He's going to talk about that. Those things that we know that we should be doing, we're not doing, that is sin. That's a sin of omission. But the more we begin to do those things we know God wants us to be doing now and not putting it off, it brings us into that relationship with God, and it's something internally that we begin to feel what is the will of God. And it's a feeling, it's an attitude. We know if we're in God's will or not by doing the things God has commanded us to be doing. So is He your guide? You know, is He that business partner? You know, it's interesting, too, that as a Christian, if God really is your business partner, you know, I've never heard of a business partner that didn't get part of the salary, you know, didn't get part of the profits, yet people will continue to go and think that they're in partnership with God, but never have any acknowledgement of God or give back to God and His kingdom and what we should be doing within the Lord's work. But we ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and you brag. All such boasting is evil. Okay? So we said there's nothing wrong with planning, but it can become evil if God is not in the picture. If God is not part of that process, we're just boasting about we're going to do this, we're going to, and it becomes an I problem, okay? And that's sinfulness. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to be doing and does not do it, it is sin. That's a sin of omission, okay? You know, the thing about going into this new year, I was thinking, you know, was kind of joking around. Everybody was on the naughty list around Christmas time. You know, Satan has a naughty list, but Jesus has a forgiven list. And that's what makes all the difference. And that's the reality of it, that the slate can be wiped clean. We can have that fresh look for a new year. Another thing I was thinking about, we tend to think in terms of years, okay? This is a new year, so we make those resolutions or whatever year by year. We celebrate birthdays year by year. But the Bible says to number your days, not your years, okay? Not plans for the year, not knowing what God has for you or what's going to happen that year. How many have things happen this past year you had no idea was going to happen? Okay, that's what James is talking about here. We can get so caught up in our own plans, we totally lose sight of what God is doing within our lives. So he says, not by the years, but by the days. So, and America is into this goal setting and planning and seminars and wanting to know the future. But this is what God says. And he says, so listen, those who say today or tomorrow, we will go and do this or that in that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. So it was all planned out, the when and the where and the how and the why. You know, it was all planned out. And James is saying that is wrong for a Christian to act that way. Is it wrong to set goals? No. Is it wrong to plan? No. Is it wrong to better yourself? No. But it is wrong if God is left out of that scenario for the Christian. And so three common mistakes in about the future. Let's look at that for a minute. Number one mistake is planning without God. Is planning without God. You know, he has to be our guide. I mean, he alone knows us and how he created us, what he created us for, what the purpose is for in our life. I remember as a kid, our parents went to Carlsbad Caverns for a vacation once. And I loved it. And you go underground, had all these caves and caverns in there. One of the first things I said is, stay close to your guide. Why? Because they knew you would get lost in those caverns very easy if you did not stay by your guide. And that's what James is saying here. As we move into a new year or a new day or even this evening, we have to stay close to Jesus. He alone knows the will of the Father for our lives and why we were created and the plan and the purpose and what's going to happen in our life and how he's going to guide us in that. So you have to stay near the guide. So he said we can plan, but you cannot leave God out. So the solution is to include God in all of your goal setting. Okay, and all of your goal setting. Reader's Digest had an article by Alexander Saw. He said this, since I have spent well nigh 50 years working on the history of the Russian Revolution, in the process I've collected hundreds of personal testimonies, read hundreds of books, contributed 8 volumes of my own, but if I were asked today to formulate as precisely as possible the main cause of the ruinous revolution that swallowed up some 60 million Russians, I could not put it more accurately than to repeat the phrase, men have forgotten God. What is more, if I were called upon to identify the principal trait of the entire 20th century, I would be unable to reflect anything more precise than this statement, men have forgotten God. So that's what he's saying, forgotten God. And that's sad. The very principles this country was found upon, forgotten. You know, the very one who created us that has a plan, forgotten. And politics makes all these plans without the acknowledgement of God in his presence. That's horrible. He said that's sad. And for somebody to bear the name of Christ, to be a Christian, or to call themselves a Christian nation, he said that's even worse than being atheistic because they have an excuse, at least, of accepting, acknowledging the presence of God. But it's even worse for a Christian who does accept and acknowledge the presence of God, yet does not go to God for that guidance and that direction through prayer and through his word. So that's what he says. It's a sad day. What's the solution? The solution is to include God. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. Why? Because of Murphy's Law. Okay? Anybody heard of that? If anything bad's happened, is going to happen, it probably will. And you can count on that. And so life is very iffy. And so it should be, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me not to do? What is the Lord's will? And you think, well, can't that just become a cliche? You know, if God wills, you know, I'll be there if God wills. I'll do this if God wills. Yeah, that could be a cliche, but it's really supposed to be an attitude of mind and heart that you really want to be in the presence of God. You really want to be in His will. You really want to be doing what He wants us to be doing. And so it's an attitude. In fact, Christians, for hundreds of years, when they would write a letter, and at the end of that letter, where they would put their initials, they'd also put DV, DV, and then the initials, which stood for the Latin phrase, Deo Volente, Deo God, Volente, His will, you know, be done, or God's will, permitting, Lord willing. So it's okay to make plans and set goals, but we have to include if God is willing, if God is in this, if God is doing this, if God is already there as we move into that darkness and into the future. We have to make sure God is already there waiting for us, and He's going to follow us there, because if we go on this other road, you know, we're going to find ourselves by ourselves and a dead-end road and maybe one of destruction. So we have to admit that God has a will. We have to accept that. We have to acknowledge that. But we also have to want it. We have to want His will within our life, and more than anything else. Proverbs 16:1, we may make our plans, but God has the last word. Proverbs 16:9, we should make plans, counting on God to direct us. So we need to stop praying, God, bless what I'm doing. And we need to begin to pray, what are you doing, Lord? And I want to join you. I want to be a part of what you're already doing. And doing God's will is being obedient to God's will. Okay, it's not about curiosity. I think that's the problem. So many people that want to know God's will, it's more of a curiosity thing. God doesn't answer the prayers of the curious. God answers the prayers of the obedient, okay? If we are obedient to Him, then we're going to know that we're in His will. And if we do the things that He's already commanded us to do. So, number one mistake, as we look at this new year, and not just for the year, but even for tomorrow, are we including God in that, in those plans? Number two, the second mistake is presuming about tomorrow. We take it for granted. We assume that we're going to live forever. We assume that everything is going to be okay. In 14 and 60, why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. As it is, you boast and you brag, and all such boasting is evil. So we look at goal setting and planning that we're in total control. We have it under control. You know, and this is the way it's going to be. And of course, that's why so many people are so disappointed, because I planned it this way, you know. So we're just setting ourselves up in that way. But why? Why do we do that? We have to live one day at a time. And I just thought that was interesting, thinking this week that we do. We plan life yearly, and we celebrate each year. We celebrate our birth. God says, whoa, you know, about all you can handle is one day at a time, okay? And let's see what God has for us each day, and that we're in His will. So presuming about tomorrow, why can you not do that? Number one, because life is unpredictable. He says, you don't even know. You don't know. Why act like you know what's going to happen? Life is so unpredictable. A war could start. The economy could crash. A friend may leave you. You know, aren't you glad you came to church today? You know? And you think, you know, and he's not saying this to make people scared or afraid or unhappy. These things are reality that we have to understand that draws us closer to God. Okay, that it's God that gives us that strength and that courage to move on, and we don't know what's going on. The world's no different today than it was thousands of years ago, okay? We do not know what a day holds, so that's why you better be holding on to God, okay? And that's why he is all sufficient. And coming out of Christmas, you know, there's always some wants or they can be needs, and that's fine. And God many times blesses that and says, that's okay. But those wants are the things for Christmas. We have to understand Jesus still has to be supreme. Okay, it's all about, because everything else is fleeting. This world is fleeting. Our life is fleeting. Things are fleeting. Okay, but what gets us through on a day-by-day basis is the very presence of God, because it's all unpredictable. And so we don't be afraid of those things, but we allow that to make us trust in God more, to realize he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, that he does have a plan for our life, and we need to be in tune to that. The second reason it says we can't presume about tomorrow, because life is brief. He says you are a mist. In the Greek, this mist is atmos, where we get atmosphere, and he's talking about a fog, and we all understand this analogy around here, how a fog can roll in the morning, by afternoon, the sun can burn it off, and it's not there anymore. He said, that's the way life is. In fact, there's several words. He says it's like a leaf, you know, that drops, the grass that withers, a shadow that's not there, a cloud, a puff of smoke, a vapor. And so the brevity of life, it's brief. We are a mist. And how quickly we go from Hot Wheels to wheelchair. You know, I remember those days of enjoying Hot Wheels. I'm looking at wheelchair now. And that's what he says. And that's the way it happens. And that's the way it's going to be. Isaiah 56:12, come, each one cries, let us drink our fill of beer. And tomorrow we will, like today, tomorrow will be like today or even better. So some had that attitude. It was party time in Jerusalem. You know, each day is going to be the same. We had fun today. Let's just have fun tomorrow and every day. And the Bible says that's foolish. You fool, you don't know what's going to happen. You better get in tune to the Creator. We live in a fallen world. Satan walks to and fro seeking whom he may devour. Things happen. The whole world is out of kilter right now until the day that God puts it aright. Proverbs 27:1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. So in our planning and our goal setting, it could be that of faith. It could be that of arrogance. And James is saying, don't let it be of arrogance. Let it be within faith, okay, and count those days. So Spencer Johnson said this. He wrote the book, One Minute Manager, and he talked about the perfect present. And that's really all that we can count on is a present and what we do with today. The future's uncertain, unsure. It's brief. We don't know the future, but we know the one who holds the future. David said this in Psalm 35:15, Lord, my days are in your hands. So the sin of presumption, the sin of not including God in our life and in our plans. But third, he also talks about a third mistake, and that's putting off doing good. Verse 17, he says, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it is sin. So, what is he talking about here? Procrastination. I was going to do it. I intended to do it. Or if you're from Texas, you were fixing to do it. Or you may say, I was aiming to do it. Well, James says it's time to pull the trigger. I mean, says it's time to do it. You know, don't just aim or fixing or think about it or intending. Procrastination is my sin. It only caused me sorrow. I know I ought to change my ways. In fact, I will tomorrow. You know? So putting it off. So here's the thing in doing God's will. Doing God's will is obedience to God. Doing God's will is not putting it off. This is the sin of omission. See, Christianity is not a bunch of do's and don'ts. I mean, there are certain things we know, you know, the Ten Commandments, and they're in black and white, and things you shouldn't do and things you should do. We know those things, okay? And so people think, well, if I don't do any of those, then I'm good. You know, I'm good to go here. But if that was true, every person dead would be a Christian because they're not doing any of those bad things, you know? For a Christian, it also means doing the good things. And in fact, he says that's more of a sin if we don't do the things we should be doing than when we do the things that we shouldn't be doing, okay? Jesus had more tolerance for the woman caught in adultery than he did for the barren fig tree. than he did for the person that took his talent. Remember the parable, the story that they were, the three of them were each given talents and amount of money, and they multiplied it, except one out of his fear just went and buried it, and he was condemned highly. He said, you could have at least, you know, put it in the bank and got interest. Didn't do a thing. The sin of nothingness is what he's saying in life, is that we don't do those things that God has commanded us to be doing. We have to invest. I love what Jim Elliot, the missionary, said. He is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep for that which he cannot lose. You know, and people will spend a lifetime trying to acquire things that we'll definitely lose, that are fleeting, that are a mist, that appear for a little while and then vanish away. The things we think we have to have one year, we don't even think about the next year. They didn't meet those kind of needs. But to give it all for the Lord, for the things that are going to last forever, you know, that's where the priority should be. There was a commercial years ago on TV for the Peace Corps, and they said, it doesn't matter how long you live if you're not doing anything with your life. It doesn't matter how long you live if you're not doing anything with your life. It's not about duration. It's about donation. You know, you look at Jesus, very young man, 33, passed away. But look what he did. He turned the world upside down, you know, turned the whole dating system from B.C. to A.D. And so it's not the duration, but it's a donation. And we don't think about that or dwell upon that. But we look at what God has given us for the time he has given us daily, that we can use it for him and seek his will. And then our prayer would be that we would be in his will. So he says, don't wait till next week or tomorrow or next year. He says, do it now. Do it now. 2 Corinthians 6, right now God is ready to welcome you. Today he is ready to save you. In Luke 12, Jesus told the story, a parable. He said this, the ground of a certain rich man produced good crop, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. And he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to myself, you have plenty of goods laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, be merry. And God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get all that you have prepared for yourself? So the problem he was saying was the I, or me, or my. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be sitting pretty. Won't even have to work for years. I'll have all the food that I need. That's the kind of planning that is very dangerous, because God was not in that. And this person evidently didn't think or care about God. He says, right now, God is ready to welcome you. Today, he is ready to save you. Paul gave that proclamation to Felix, you know, that God wanted to do a work within his life. And Felix said, that's great. You know, that sounds good. You know, I'm very interested. Why don't you come back someday? Well, we don't know that that day ever happened. And Felix probably went off into an eternity in hell without Christ, because he said, no, not today. And that's what Paul is saying here. You know what you ought to do, then do it. And don't put it off. And come to the Lord. And that's another problem that we have with future thinking, is that we can just plan it out. You know, what are your plans for the future? What have you set on the calendar for 2015? Does God have a say in your schedule? Okay, and we can even get specific. Have you really talked to God about how you're going to retire? Are you making all those decisions on your own, how you're going to save for that? Have you really talked to God about the situation with school and what he wants you to be doing in school, or that degree, or that marriage, or whether to get married, or whether to date, or whether to stay single? What about the business or a career change? You know, these are all things that only God knows, investments that you have. James is saying that we live life, and as we bear the name of Christ, we better be sure we're not practicing the practical atheism where we make all these plans without God, but that we acknowledge his presence and that he's in all things. Is God a partner in your business? And you know how you know if God's a partner with you is if you give your partner back, you know, from that profit. And does he get part of that profit? You know, it'd be ridiculous if he didn't. But he's saying things that we ought to do and the right things to do and not to be putting it off. Jesus says to do it now. And he says that according to his will, those things, his will is the things that we know we should be doing, that, you know, we do it and without putting it off. If we don't do it, it becomes sin. And the more we do his will, the more it becomes an inward attitude of understanding his will for our life. It becomes that innate thing that just redirects us in living life together and becomes that second nature that we're following God. So it's about obedience. It's not about curiosity of what's your will. It's about obedience to his word. You know, if it's your will, sometimes we think it's a shackle, but it's not. It's a total freedom, okay? It's just like certain laws in the universe. You learn that. You learn what that will is, just like the law of gravity. But even with the law of gravity, if you understand it and know that, it creates such a freedom of flight, you know, that you can fly if the plane is built in the right architecturally way. You know, and that's the way with God's will. We just achieve so much more when we find ourselves not fighting against his will, when we understand what his will is and begin to live within that will, and in making those goals according to his will, it makes all the difference. Why we can't ignore the will of God? Because the complexity of life, there's so many intervening factors within our life we'll never understand. The uncertainty of life, the brevity of life, the vapor, and the frailty of man, our own frailty. That's why God has to be included in every plan, in every goal setting, in that partnership with God, the one who created us and knows us better than we even know ourselves. Is that the way you're going to enter into this new year? James says that's the way we should. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this passage from James and the insight that he had, that even as Christians, we can act like you're not concerned and you don't care. We can grieve your spirit by just moving forward with life and making plans. And you say that's a sin, Lord, and we thank you for that reminder this morning that we seek your will in all things and that we do things according to your will. And Lord, we always to include you in that planning. And we just can't make presumptions about tomorrow because none of us know what tomorrow holds. But you do. It's unpredictable. And life is brief. And that's why we have to stick so close to you, Lord, to our guide, so we don't get lost in the whole maze of this thing called life. And that we can't just put things off that we know that we are supposed to be doing as a follower of Jesus Christ, to stay in there for you each day. We thank you for that strength, that presence, Lord, that forgiveness to move forward. We thank you for your love. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Just use this time in prayer. We'll be at the front to pray with you. You can use the altar to pray. And maybe a time you want to pray for this new year.
Just to breathe something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
So many times measure time in years, and we're about to celebrate a new year. You tell us to celebrate it in days, Lord, and that each day that we need to seek your will and your guidance within our lives and what you have for us, Lord, to be obedient children of God. Lord, thank you for that reminder this morning that you're in control and you have all power and you are the Ancient of Days and you hold the future. And then in that, we can take strength and security and find wisdom, Lord, for this life. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning. This song this morning is perfect. It's the Lord's Prayer, and it's "Give us this day our daily bread." I love how he always picks the right songs. And y'all know the words, so I don't have to sing alone. You can sing and pray with me, please.
Be thy name, Job on that, Haley. Thank you. I don't know about singing with you, though. That was up in the ceiling.